T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Also, from the world of college football, we've had a second college player declare for the NFL draft. Minnesota wide receiver Rashad.
Declare for the draft?
I'm sorry. Well, essentially, yeah. They're opting out of the college football season. Minnesota's Rashad Bateman announcing
Loved
he's
him
leaving.
Teen Wolf.
He's leaving. He's like a top 20 on the McShay list already. One of the top wide receivers of this upcoming draft. Apparently saying I'm opting out of college football. I'm just going to get ready for the draft.
COVID, is that why? The uncertainty?
How could you plan for anything right now? Right?
I wonder once COVID is done, if we're going to see players just kind of opt out of their senior seasons and not play, man. I think what we're seeing here is the opening for a lot of players to be able to do something like that. Because I think, and we said this last week, Josh, I think in college football, you're not going to be given and afforded the same opportunities that maybe like a Bill Self affords you in college basketball to kind of showcase your skills a little bit. Those college football coaches, they'll tell you there, oh, it'd be good to get to the next level, but they're not going to do anything that's going to take away from an opportunity to win a football game. You have so many fewer football games, you don't have the opportunity to showcase those guys. I just wonder if going forward, we're going to see a lot of these top prospects bail on their senior season and the NFL not look down on it and go, yeah, you made the right
call. That's the question. What will the NFL think of it? I mean, that'll be the ultimate thing. What will the NFL be telling? I think this year they probably go, yeah, I get it. We don't know.
But what is the NFL going to tell them? We want you to be healthy. We want you to be ready to go. And if you can play, who cares if you sat out?
But if I don't have tape and I haven't seen you and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, and that's fair.
So I don't know how they'll evaluate it. I think this year it's completely understandable. And certainly when you didn't know what your schedule was going to be and you know there's going to be an NFL and you don't know if there's going to be college.
Right.
I mean, you know the NFL is going to happen, right?
Sure.
And I think for college basketball players, too, like, I'm surprised there's been a rash of guys that have come back for next year. I figured everybody just go pro. Like, we know there's going to be some type of NBA. Don't know if there's going to be college basketball. You didn't get to finish last year. So why would you think that there would be, a for sure college basketball season this year? So I'm kind of surprised that it's happening amongst basketball players. Football, this is new territory. Mm-hmm. We'll see how the NFL reacts to the, and maybe just a test of this upcoming draft, right? I think this year it'll be understandable. I don't know about future years.
Yet. Right. Maybe not future years, but I think this year you're right. 100% understandable this year. But again, guys are preserving themselves. And if you're
you
an
don't
NFL,
have the wear and tear,
I was going to say, you don't have that wear and tear. And if you're an NFL team and we know that window of true athletic dominance is like, 23 to 28 years old, roughly in there. Anything younger, you're kind of still too young. And anything older, you're becoming, you and I and grandpas in this world, right? So ultimately, you're going to want guys that have as many formative years, if you will, and fresh formative years. And if you sit out a year of college football and don't waste it playing in the Big Ten or the Big 12 or something like that, you may see the NFL maybe gravitate to you more because you didn't play that year. You didn't have that year of wear and tear on you, and you saved yourself for the National Football League. So I'd be interested to pick the minds of a lot of, scouts and personnel guys to see what they think and how they will react. But I think if you have talent and you can get out there and play, the NFL doesn't care. The NBA doesn't care. Major League Baseball doesn't care. As our friend Gene Watson of the Royals always says, if you can play, we'll find you. And if you can play and you sat out a year and you can legitimately play and you sat out a year to preserve yourself, I still think you're going to get a golden opportunity to play in the NFL.
Royals head into game 2 of their set in Chicago against the Cubs. It did not go to, it went kind of to form, not too good form last night. The Royals managed just 5 hits. gave up just four, but still a 2-0 loss at the hands of the Cubs. Danny Duffy, really good. Got himself out of a jam as well. Bases loaded situation with just a sac fly RBI, but that was enough as the Royals suffer their fourth straight loss now on the season. The offense continues to be a big part of the story. Pitching, you kind of understood, right? They were going through some things, but when you have Duffy and then now Singer going tonight, maybe that looks to be on the road to kind of stabilizing. Will this offense be anything that could become anything resembling close to stable? Because it's a grind getting a run.
I think right now there's no more excuses when it comes to the rotation. You got a good rotation out there now. Duffy, Junis, Singer, Bubich, Keller will be back at the end of the week. That's a major league rotation, Josh. You can go to bat every day with that rotation. And if guys pitch like Duffy did last night, if guys pitch like Junis did the night before, if guys pitch like Bubich did and Singer did, I mean, the starters, for the most part, have been very good for the Royals this year. The bullpen, for the most part, has been very good for the
bullpen
Royals
at
this
all.
Year, right?
Yeah.
I had three things that I wanted to look at in that game. Is the offense better? How did Duffy do in the bullpen? Duffy was outstanding. The bullpen was really, really good last night, okay? Yes, you had one home run given up by Ian Kennedy, but that was a solo shot. It's 2-0. You know, you've got to find a way to start scoring.
Seemingly
some
not
runs.
Insurmountable, but
right.
Yeah.
Even still, let's say Ian doesn't give up that run. It's still 1-0. You lose a game 1-0. That's not on your pitching. That's on your offense. You got to go out there and find a way to produce more than, you know, five, you know, hits or whatever it was last night for Kansas City. So that's where the issue lies right now with this team. You're getting really good pitching. You're able to stay in the games because of the pitching. But now you got to find a way to break it open with the hitting and a little bad luck last night as well with Mondi running into that caught stealing, which was like everything that could go right for the
really
Cubs went right for the Cubs, you know, on that play. But, you know, to me, I think you got to find a way to start hitting the ball, find a way to start scoring some runs, because if you do with the way that the starting pitching is going and the way that the bullpen has been for the majority of this season so far, you're going to give yourself an opportunity to win some games. Easier said than done. Put your hitting shoes on, right?
No doubt. Denny Matthews, the Hall of Famer, joining the drive yesterday here on 610 Sports Radio. What he'd like to see out of this offense?
Well, quite simply, moving runners, embracing the team concept, one at bat leads to the next guy's at bat, to the next guy's at bat, and so on. And they did those things so very well over the championship years. And that's lacking, I think, and maybe a little more of a running game, but when you're behind 7-1, well, that pretty well takes care of the running game. So, yeah, it's a combination of a lot of things, obviously.
Yeah, and I think Denny's right about that, about the championship season. When you have a championship season, everything works. Everything goes right. That's why those seasons are so special and so, you know, so enjoyable, because anytime you need a big moment, you get a big moment. And when you have a down year, like the last couple have been for the Royals, when you need a big moment, you don't get that big moment. I'm hoping when Hunter Dozier comes back, he can help this lineup out. Vern talked about lengthening that lineup a little bit. But again, there's no guarantees with Hunter Dozier. Last year could have been, as you were talking about before the show, Josh, that could have been his breakout year. We may not see another year like that, but who knows? But just having his bat in the lineup hopefully makes it better for everybody else.
A shortened season with a setback. Do you not find it this year? I don't know.
I don't know.
I don't think he's going to be the magic formula like this. Oh, wow. As soon as they get Hunter Dozier back, the offense is fixed.
Correct.
I wish it was that simple.
Right. I wish it was as well. I don't know that it's going to be that, but it's not going to hurt to have Hunter Dozier obviously back in the lineup. But everybody else needs to produce. Just because Hunter Dozier's in there hitting fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh, whatever it is in that lineup, doesn't mean all of a sudden everybody else is going to start producing. You have to come through, and you have to break innings open. There have been times where they've had runners on, and they haven't been able to score. You'll get a runner on third with nobody out, and you pop one up, and you get a strikeout. Now you got a runner on third with two outs, and you're like, you got to find a way to score that guy. You got to find a way to bring that guy in. Runs are a commodity right now, a precious commodity for the Royals, because they're not scoring that many. And you just get a couple of runs across last night, and you win that ball game, and you don't waste a great pitching performance by Danny Duffy.
Denny Matthews says there has been some bright spots for him, namely the young pitchers, including Brady Singer.
Fastball slider, very good command, especially at the slider in his first outing, not quite as good in his second. A lot of poise on the mound. I liked his mound presence. He wasn't awed by what he was doing. I think being a college guy has always helped in that regard. They're more mature than a guy coming out of high school, quite obviously. So, yeah, high marks for Brady, and if he stays injury-free, he's going to get better, and he's going to be a force.
They had another young pitcher make a start over the weekend, Chris Bubich. What did you see from him in his start?
Well, you can see the potential that's there. He struggled with his command in the first inning. He shows a really good changeup, working on his curveball. Fastball is plenty good, mid-90s, pretty good movement. But his changeup right now is his signature pitch. And once he acquires that breaking ball and is able to command it, why, he's going to be a force, because a starting pitcher really needs three pitches. A guy can come out of the bullpen and have two good pitches and get by because he's only going to see the hitters one time. But a starting pitcher may see a hitter three times through the batting order, so he needs that third pitch. But Bubich and Singer, I think they're going to be at the top of my rotation in the next few years, hopefully to form a championship rotation.
Denny Matthews yesterday on The Drive. You can check out the full interview, 610sports.com or via the radio.com app in the on-demand section. Certainly some bright spots in the pitching staff. One of those, Brady Singer on the mound tonight in Game 2 against the Cubs. 7:15 here on 610 Sports Radio, and Vern has your pregame coverage tonight starting at 6 o'clock. He's even mentoring the front office next.
Fesco in the Morning, brought to you by Santa Fe Auto Sound, Kansas City's home for car audio since 1967.
Chiefs head coach Andy Reid coming up live an hour from now. We'll hear from him out at Arrowhead as training camp's underway for the Chiefs, and he'll join us on the show tomorrow as well here on 610 Sports Radio.
That would be an exclusive interview with Andy Reid on your official broadcast partner of the Kansas City Chiefs, says the sideline reporter Josh Klingler for the Chiefs.
I may have undersold that. Is that what you're saying?
I think you did.
All right,
yeah.
Sorry about that.
Some places will not be undersold. We will not be undersold as the official broadcast partner of the Chiefs.
Selling mattresses.
A lot of hard work and a lot of time went into acquiring the rights here at the Entercom facility. 106.5 The Wolf will have the games on Sunday. We'll have the official pre- and post-game show here.
Mitch was supposed to howl this week.
He was supposed to howl. Yeah, we forgot to get Mitch to howl.
Right.
Have you been working on your howl?
I have not.
Are you guys going to practice that when you have the practice broadcast coming up? Yes, it'll be a lot of fun.
I believe so.
Everybody's going to howl. So, yeah, all the games are on 106.5 The Wolf, our sister station, and of course we are the official broadcast partner now of the Kansas City Chiefs and the home of the Kansas City Royals as well. When it comes to sports in Kansas City, there's only one place to go, and that is 610 Sports Radio, the station that the teams love.
I like that. Andy Reid coming up at an hour from now. Brett Veach, Chiefs general manager, joining Colin Cowherd on our sister station, 1660 The Score and FS1. Even he learns every day from Andy.
Yeah, you know, it's for me as well. I mean, I listen to Andy Reid. I see the way that Andy Reid does things. And if you want to be a leader and if you want to be a boss and if you want to be a mentor and you want to be somebody that, you know, leaves a great legacy, Andy Reid is one of those guys that you really need to kind of look up to and follow and kind of just mold yourself after, because he has the ability to lead everybody, whether it's the 53rd man on the roster, whether it's the general manager. I think Andy Reid has done a good job of leading ownership throughout this process, you know, here in Kansas City, and saying, hey, this is what we need to do. And if you're Clark Hunt and the Hunt family, why wouldn't you let Andy Reid lead you? I mean, the guy has had success everywhere that he's been. And, you know, Colin had a nice little interview with Brett Veach. I enjoyed Brett's answers yesterday when he was on with Colin. And I think the one question that he asked that I really, really, really thought was, oh, that's a pretty good question. I wish I had thought of that is, what have you learned from Andy Reid? Because we know what Mahomes is learning from Andy Reid. We know what the players learn from Andy Reid. Coaches are learning from Andy Reid. But what about you as a general manager that's been around this guy for a while? What are you learning from Andy Reid?
I remember when I first started working from coach fresh out of college, a little intimidated because here we have a Hall of Fame type coach, one of the best in the game. And when, you know, he asked you to do a certain report or a project, just thinking, I mean, this guy has all the answers. Why is he asking me? But his understanding that everybody has something different and unique to bring to the table, you can always learn something from someone, whether it be a 20-year offensive coordinator, a 20-year GM, or you know, a young intern or first-year guy. Andy has that ability to understand that everybody brings something different and unique to the table, and I think that helped helps me in my career as I carry on, knowing that, you know, your ability to grow and adapt and develop in this position is going to come from all different areas, from veterans, scouts, from veteran coaches, but also young guys, young coaches, young interns, young scouts.
And also putting those people in position to have the overall organization. Mm-hmm. I mean, Mitch just talked about how many times, like, one of his first calls was Rick Burkholder.
Right.
And they're friends, yeah, but not mm-hmm. because that. It was, like, expertise.
Right.
Like, I'm putting you in this position. I don't have to do it. Then you do it, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
All of the offensive minds that he's brought in along the way. I mean, it wasn't too long ago. He had a couple of kind of outside the box ones. The spread guy,
right?
Brad Childress was around for a little while,
right?
In addition to young
Chris Ault, was that his name?
Chris Ault. That's
the poster that Binkley has on his bedroom wall of Chris Ault,
the former, and then you've kind of groomed these guys, the former quarterbacks, essentially, to be
right.
offensive coordinators. Now, former running back as well, but have all these kind of young offensive guys that you kind of move through the system as well.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's just done a really good job. It's not just, hey, I'm here and we got everything else. It's we got this piece, this piece, this piece, this piece. I expect you to do your jobs as well. Let's see how we do this all together. It's not one overriding presence with a bunch of underlings. He's like, he brings people with expertise and then grooms them along the way. It's a really good system. However you want to, as you mentioned, kind of write the book and
mm-hmm.
show people the breakdown of how you put this together, this together, this together, you can see how it works. I mean, year in and year out.
I think the number one thing that I took away from Brett Veach's comments and what he learned from Andy Reid, and Brett didn't say this, but I kind of figured it out. Andy isn't one of these guys who's a Super Bowl winning coach, took another organization to a Super Bowl, turned around two organizations, won a Super Bowl with Green Bay. Andy's not walking around the building like he has all the answers. Even in his 60s, he realizes he doesn't have all the answers. And I think
he's not wrapping the ring on the podium.
Yeah, right.
Those,
yeah, like it's going to be my way or the highway things.
I've done this.
He's willing to listen to everybody, no matter who you are, no matter how old you are, no matter how much experience you have. Andy values what you have to say and values your ideas. Now, he may not agree with them or he may think of it something different, but he's open to everything. And I think for all of us, I mean, I think the sooner in life you can realize that you don't have all the answers, the more successful you are going to be in whatever field it is that you're involved in. The sooner that you realize that you can rely on people and trust people and hire the right people and accept, you know, input from people, I think that the quicker you realize all of that and become better at understanding that you don't know squat, regardless of how long you've been in something, you are going to be more successful that way and accepting ideas from everybody. And I think, you know, we've all been through this. In our 20s, we know everything, right, Josh? We know everything in our 20s. No matter who you are, no matter what career you're in, you know everything in your 20s. Then you hit your 30s and you start to realize, well, maybe I don't know everything. And then for me, when you hit your 40s, you realize you don't know anything. And so the more people that you can have around you with ideas and input, the better off you're going to be. And that is the sign of a true leader.
And you're also less worried that you don't know everything.
Yeah, that is true. Yeah, the older you get, the less you care about not knowing everything, right?
It's like I fully can acknowledge when I don't know something. It's fine.
Right, but here's Andy Reid, a Super Bowl winning coach, just one of the greatest head coaches in the history of the National Football League, and he's still gathering input from guys who are personnel assistants and from assistant coaches that are much younger than him that don't have the experience that he has, but maybe they view things in a different way or maybe they see things differently. And that's why I think Andy Reid is so effective as a leader, because he allows the people underneath him to work, allows them to present him ideas, and then they come to a collaborative decision on things. It's just not him overruling everybody out there. He understands that there are people that may have different ideas and may know something a little bit more than he is, and he's willing to accept that and willing to, you know, listen to those people. Where I think people who fail at leadership are the ones who fail to listen to the people that they've hired around them. And we've seen that firsthand right here in Kansas City.
Yeah, I think he's done a masterful job at that. And also, the giving up of being the general manager.
Yeah.
Like, I still think that's like a huge credit to him. Like,
sure it is.
I did it. I don't want to do it again.
I don't want any part of this. I watched tape on some guy from the Mac.
It wasn't
no way.
My thing. I got enough on my plate. I'm going to do what I do best and hand this off to someone who can.
Yep.
I get that. That, to me, still goes a long, long way with him. our big story coming up, and a lot to get to, including bubbles next.
Fesco in the Morning, brought to you by Santa Fe Auto Sound, Kansas City's home for car audio since 1967.
Seth Hour brought to you by Santa Fe Auto Sound, Kansas City's home for car audio since 1967. A member of a non-Marlin, I should say. A non-Marlin is really, really upset at the Marlins.
A non-Marlin is upset at the Marlins.
Really, really should be.
Yeah.
They doth protest too much.
Oh, my goodness.
Also, as well.
Two GMs out there that just don't get it.
And bubbles. Bubbles. All to get to in the next 30 minutes. Time now for the big story.
Everyone, I'm sorry for the delay, but the big moment has finally come.
It's the big story.
This may be the biggest thing that's ever happened.
If it's what you're talking about, it's what we're talking about.
My God, are you still talking?
On Fesco in the Morning.
Brought to you by Novel Place Senior Living in Overland Park in Blue Springs, a novel choice in senior living. When you have a losing streak, what do you want to do?
You want to win.
You want to put a guy on the mound that's going to stop it.
That's right.
I felt like the Royals did that last night with Danny Duffy. Pitched well enough to stop a streak. The Royals lose 2-0 to the Cubs. Now have lost four in a row. Duffy gave up just a sacrifice fly in his six innings of work. Got himself out of one bases loaded jam as well. But that was enough for the Cubs to come away with the win. Duffy, I felt like, did his role, which was to try to stop a streak.
I felt like I threw the ball well. Fifth inning hasn't been good to me lately. I lost a couple guys. Ball running on me, but overall I feel like I threw the ball pretty well. Still got to be better. Still can't allow two walks in an inning. My command's been a lot better than that. It's come a long way, but overall I felt like I did a pretty good job.
And saying the right things as well. Hey, had that one inning, got in trouble. Could have been a lot worse.
Yeah,
in that frame.
Sure. I thought the fifth inning was great. I mean, he got into trouble, and you started to think, this could get ugly.
This is that one inning.
And you know what he did? He got out of it and gave up a sacrifice fly and gave up one run and kept you in the ballgame. Danny Duffy was brilliant last night. And when you pitch like that, you've got to find a way to get a win. You can't let those pitching performances, especially in a shortened season, go to waste like that. I thought Danny Duffy was great.
Five hits last night for the offense. Mike Matheny says the O side of things, frustrated.
It's frustrating for the whole group because we know the kind of potential that we have for our offense. And when we get that kind of pitching, we make defensive plays. It just comes back to an offense that we know has the potential to put up big numbers. It's just the consecutive hits. We're just having trouble getting multiple under the inning. And once again, sometimes it looks like not much. But that's everything contrary to the approach that I know that they're taking as we walk up there. So it's we got to get a change. We got to get it fixed.
You got to get it fixed. He's right. And the time is starting to run out, man. You got 11 games into this 60-game season. There's still enough time to get back into it, obviously. But you still now have under 50 games to go in the season. The offense has got to get it going. And hopefully once Hunter Dozier comes back, it gives them a little jolt that they need. But when you get runners on, you got to move them over and get them in. And the Royals have not been able to do that over the last couple of days. And that's part of the reason why they're in the middle of this four-game losing streak. And I don't think anymore going forward, Josh, pitching is an issue for this ball club. Because once your rotation is set, which it's going to be once Keller comes back this week, you got Junis, you got Keller, you got Duffy, you got Singer, you got Bubich. That's a major league rotation.
That's a real good place to start.
And your bullpen has been fairly good for the most part of the season.
And by having those solidified, you push the others into roles to help out if, you know, you have shorter outings or whatever. Strengthen your middle relief as well. I think it's got the potential to be a really good pitching staff.
It does.
I love a lot of pieces of the bullpen.
Mm-hmm.
It feels like suddenly once you get the two main ones back, Junis and Keller, that you have enough pitching.
Yeah, you should be
able
to
go. So now I turn and look at the others and go, okay,
hit the ball.
Get some runs. They did out hit the Cubs last night, 5-4, but lost 2-0.
Yeah.
Like, boy, just can't buy a break, but the offense looks sluggish on a night where you had good enough pitching to win.
That's right. The pitching was there. The pitching was good. The pitching was fantastic, obviously. I mean, I really did. I watched Duffy pitch last night, and I'm clapping, and I'm rooting him on, and I'm loving every minute of it. And then the offense just can't come through with that big hit. And, you know, we all have that same feeling at home. Like, when are you going to get the big hit? So, you know, those guys are going up there with that same type of feeling. We all need to relax. We all need to chill out, as we've been saying over the last couple of days. But the offense needs to find a way to pick it up, man. You got to find a way to pick it up. Should have won that game last night.
Back at it tonight, game two. Brady Singer on the hill tonight against Kyle Hendricks. 7:15 first pitch on 610 Sports Radio. Vern has pregame at 6. Mike Matheny tomorrow at 9 o'clock joins us for his weekly visit with the Royal Skipper tomorrow at 9. Sticking with baseball, we've had still more cancellations around the world of baseball thanks to the COVID outbreak.
That's right.
Two games were off the schedule last night. We're still looking at postponements throughout three games tonight.
Well, the Yankees are postponed tonight because of a hurricane.
True, but they have also got Philly.
Yeah, but they played Philly last night, so that's not an issue. It's the hurricane.
Because
they canceled that game yesterday.
True.
Ahead of time, but like Tuesday's game canceled. I'm like, you're playing on Monday. Why not just have a doubleheader on Monday then? But anyway, so the hurricane that's going up the East Coast wiped out that one.
So we still have a bunch of three tonight, four on Wednesday, I think, is the number at this point in time, including the Yankees again.
Yeah.
But not all going according to form. If you're not the Marlins and you have the Marlins on your schedule, you've got to be pretty frustrated, right?
Right.
Andrew McCutchen of the Phillies is indeed in that mode. He joined the Starkville podcast and discussed his frustrations.
I was upset at everything that's transpired through whoever decided to, step out or not necessarily follow the health and safety protocol. That upset me. What made me angry was we as the Phillies, and we were the ones having to pay for that.
Right.
Being that we did what we needed to do. We followed the health and safety protocol. We felt that that was important. We understood that's what we needed to do to be able to play this game. And we did everything right, and we paid for it. And so for me, that was upsetting. I'm sitting here at home watching 28 to 27, 26 other teams play. And we're sitting at home, all negative, by the way, and we have to watch this happen while we did nothing wrong.
Yeah, I can't blame his frustration.
Right, and it has to be frustrating. And it's frustrating because it wasn't a incident where, you caught it because you were at the grocery store or something like that. All signs have pointed to this situation happening because the Marlins were careless and they weren't doing the right things. And Major League Baseball now has said that you're not allowed to leave the hotel. Once you're back at the hotel, you're done. You're at the hotel and you're not going to be allowed to leave because of health and safety protocols. Because
so you
they want
to go back to the hotel.
In. You got to get on the buses. You can't take an Uber. You can't take a cab.
Correct.
You're on the bus and you're going back to the hotel. And once you're back at the hotel now, you have to stay at the hotel. And I never really thought of it from the perspective of that other team, like the Phillies, who are going, man, we've done everything we're supposed to do. We followed all the rules. We followed all the regulations. And here's one team that's stepping out that is essentially ruining it for everybody. And it's good to hear a guy like Andrew McCutchen talk about it because you do get the perspective from the other players that are saying, look, we want to play these games. We want to make sure this season goes off. And you have 99% of the players in baseball doing the right thing. It's that 1% that steps out and goes to a bar or goes to play craps or whatever it is, like the casino Cardinals. And now all of a sudden they're ruining it for everybody else. And the rest of the guys around baseball are like, dude, do what you're supposed to do because you're not just hurting yourselves and whatnot. You're hurting us. Now I got to sit around for a week and give up a week of playing time and lose my timing. And we know how rushed this was to get back, and having a week off sets everybody back. And then the Yankees have to welcome us to the Bronx and Garrett Cole's pitching. And the first time in a week we're playing is we're facing Garrett Cole and we lose 6-1 or whatever it was last night. Put yourself in the shoes of the Philadelphia Phillies. It would suck to be them.
Yeah.
It's very upsetting. We all understood what we need to do to be able to play this game, knowing that we got to take all of this serious, knowing that we're not just in the NBA where we're just stuck in a bubble, where we're traveling, we're going from place to place. Everyone personally has their own bubble with their families, their homes, and then we all have to come together. We really have to be like on the same page with this whole thing because, as we can see, all it takes is one person, two, whatever, to really make things a little difficult with this season. So I was upset at the fact that, we did everything right and we weren't playing. So You know, as far as what players or specific players from the other team, whatever they did is what they did. But we realize now, hopefully, you know, we can learn from that and realize that we all got to be on the same page if we want to be able to play this game, to play the season.
It's almost like, I don't even want to say their name. You know what I'm talking about, though. You know which team I'm talking about, right? I'm not going to say their name.
Well, I like the peer pressure, though, that has come out. Like, for the most part, Josh, everybody's pretty out there saying, hey, the Florida Marlins screwed up. They didn't do what they were supposed to do. The St. Louis Cardinals screwed up. They weren't doing what they were supposed to do. Like, people aren't really using the term allegedly or maybe or, you know, could have been. Like, all of baseball has realized that these two organizations did things that they weren't supposed to do that have jeopardized it for everybody else. And all of these other players are looking around at these two teams and going, dopes, doofuses, dorks. Like, what are you guys doing out there that's ruining it for everybody else? Because when you don't play, I don't play. When I don't play, I don't get paid. Okay? So stop doing what you're doing that's forcing me to have to sit on the sidelines for something I didn't. It's one thing if weather gets in the way. It's one thing if you get injured. It's one thing if you do something to yourself, like fight a wild boar and then walk away from your team.
Oh, yeah.
It's one thing if it's something that you can control. But if you're not playing a baseball game because the other team is not following the rules and the protocols that are put in place that just about everybody else is following, then I'd be ticked too, because everybody is doing something this year in life that you don't want to be doing. You've changed the way you're doing things. But people who believe that they're bigger than this and better than this and don't have to follow the rules, those are the people that ruin it for everybody. And I'm not just talking about sports. I'm talking about life in general. You know somebody who's walking around that doesn't think the virus applies to them, right? We all know somebody like that. The virus applies to everybody. And when you don't think it applies to you, that's when you and your bad actions start to affect everybody else. And that's what we've seen in baseball these 2 weeks.
Meanwhile, Derek Jeter of the Marlins, I don't know why it took this long, but.
Well, they finally found him.
I guess.
That big mansion
lost. Your team's getting drugged through the mud.
Yeah. Is it really his team? Does he care?
With accusations that they had stepped out of line, and Jeter maintains they did not go out to clubs, as was believed to be possibly the case with the players. He says they did not go out to clubs in Atlanta.
You know, we continue to hear and read about rumors about our players' actions in Atlanta, and we need to stop that. Like, our team and our players deserve better than that. As I mentioned, these guys are sick. Our guys were not running all around town after our game in Atlanta. So I need to ask that stop. They don't deserve that. We did have a couple individuals leave the hotel. In our review, it was determined we had guys leave to get coffee, to get clothes. A guy left to have dinner at a teammate's house. There were no other guests on site. There was no salacious activity. There's no hanging out at bars. No clubs, no running around Atlanta.
No salacious activity.
But you did still admit that guys left the facility and left the team hotel when they're not supposed to do that.
They weren't
following the rules. It doesn't matter if they went to a bar or if they went to a coffee shop, especially to a friend's house or whatever the case may be. Those are things that you're not supposed to be doing while you're playing Major League Baseball this year. Going to a coffee place and people are packed in there, or going to your friend's house. You don't know if they've got the COVID. Why are you clothes shopping on the road in Atlanta? Didn't you pack to go on the road trip? Like, what do you need to go to the clothes shop store? Because Banana Republic has got 70% off, so you need to go get a polo? Like what's the excuse for having to go clothes shopping when you're on the road? I mean, just simply as Danny Duffy put it the other day, I would feel guilty. I would feel like I'm doing something wrong if I'm out there shopping and doing something and really risking it for everybody else and putting everybody else's livelihood on the line. So you may not have been at a bar, so to speak, as everybody's been saying, but you were still out doing things that people in Major League Baseball have asked you not to do. They've asked you just to kind of stay in, not run around and get a pair of skinny jeans.
What it boiled down to on this particular trip was, guys were around each other, they got relaxed, and they let their guard down. They were getting together in groups. They weren't wearing masks as much as they should have. They weren't social distancing. Everyone was getting tested. We went the whole spring training 2.0 without a positive. and the entire traveling party got a little too comfortable. Should they have been doing that? No. And that's been addressed.
I like how Jeter basically is like ripping everybody for saying the bars and then goes and lists everything that they were doing wrong.
We didn't go to bars, but we did do this, this, and this.
Right. We got coffee.
And I feel like the
we saved 10% at the Gap.
The more
went to friends' houses and nobody wore masks.
The story just keeps like sliding out and sliding out, right, sliding out. But also, like, you should have kind of, I know that they had to go through their investigation probably and figure out exactly what went down. But
sure,
it feels like the time frame became too, like, now it's too late.
Yeah, too late. Like, I don't really care now. It's over.
Like,
now
we've
moved on.
Should have been out in front of this one.
Right.
Meanwhile, the Cardinals, their rumor is players at a casino.
That's right. I've heard that rumor. Jerry Hairston Jr.'s heard that rumor. I don't know Jerry Hairston. We both heard the same rumor, and I guarantee you it was probably from two totally different people.
Yeah.
So that's the word in baseball right now, is that the Cardinals were rolling dice.
GM of the Cardinals, John Mozeliak.
Come on, seven.
Doesn't know if players were at a casino.
And it has been picked up that that there were players that went to a casino. Do you want to? Do you have any information on that? Do you know the background of that? Is that something that gets your attention?
I have no factual reason to believe that is true, and I have not seen any proof of that. If someone was at a casino, though, that would be disappointing.
Okay. All right. I don't know if anybody's turning over casino footage these days. Probably not.
Well, no, I don't think this is probably. I don't think you need to turn over
probably
the casino footage at this point in time.
Probably not.
But I think it's something you ask your team about, and if that's the rumor that is out there, and that's what people in the inner circles of baseball are saying, that this team was out at the casino, then maybe John Mozeliak needs to show some leadership and sit down with the casino Cardinals and let them know, hey, man, play craps in October. You know, go out there and hit on 16 with the dealer showing an 18 in
or
November.
Or set up a casino night in the hotel.
Have a casino night after a day game or something
like
that.
Or at the stadium.
Yeah.
Or something at home.
There you go. Socially distance yourselves in the locker room.
Have a fun
play
little
casino
event. Little bonding event with your players in-house.
Right. You know, you can
sounds
get
like
video games where you can play blackjack, too. You don't need to go to the casino and do all that. Now, I understand real money's not on the line, and you know, there's the thrill of, you know, winning cash and doing all that kind of stuff. But, again, at this point in time, there's no need to be running down there and throwing dice, man. You don't need to line up, you know, load up on the pass line. I mean, it's just like it's simple. You know, just do what you're supposed to do. Think to yourself,
self,
should I be doing this? Could I put others in jeopardy because of that? And Derek Jeter talked about, you know, go and get coffee. Last I checked, every hotel room in the world has a coffee maker, right? You can easily
that's not the good stuff.
Who cares? At this point in time, brew yourself a cup of in-room coffee. Call it a day.
It's not the good stuff.
Well, it's there, right? Bring your own then. Pack your own coffee pot. Get your own beans and grind them and brew it in your room if it's that big a deal.
Bring your own little K-cup thing.
Yeah. I mean, these hotel rooms all are equipped now with coffee pots. You don't need to be running down to the local coffee
to the
shop.
Bucks.
Yeah, and paying $17 for half a cup of coffee, man. Like, do it in your room. I got an answer for everything. I really do. Like, I just don't have the tolerance for these guys wandering the streets and going to stores and coffee shops when you got 60 days to play baseball. Get your caffeine fix at the ball. I mean, like, everything that Derek Jeter said, Danny Duffy had an answer for on Sunday. Well, I'm not getting room service. I'm just taking the food at the ballpark and taking that with me. I'm not going to the stores because I feel like I would be jeopardizing everybody else. I'm not hanging out with friends because I don't know where they've been. Like, everything that Derek Jeter said that his team was doing, Danny Duffy talked about on Sunday as to why they're not doing that. So if the Royals got a program in place and they're following the rules, I just don't understand why everybody else in baseball can't.
Yeah, this was Duffy from Sunday.
I don't really go into any stores or anything. I just go for long walks, try to kill time. It is hard. It is a grind. We can do whatever we want, but you feel incredibly selfish if you go into any stores. You know, you feel like you're not doing the right thing, so to speak, which, you know, it's interesting, man. But I mean, gosh, dude, how many people have it so much worse than we do? So if we're complaining about staying in a really nice hotel room a little longer than we'd like to, I feel like we're probably not, you know, really coming from the right perspective.
The other thought did come to my mind. Maybe Jeter's not putting them in a nice hotel room.
That is true. That's fair. They could be at the Motel 6 or something.
They
yeah.
could be at a crappy place that doesn't have coffee.
Yeah.
And it's nowhere near anything else.
That's true.
Can't get their laundry dry cleaned or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it could be Jeter. I never thought of that.
That's true.
That angle. But Duffy noted as well. He hopes everybody else is doing the right thing too.
I mean, it's a yard sale. I mean, every day you wake up, you see something that you don't want to see. So ultimately, we can only control what we can control, you know. And as hard as that kind of is to grasp and really walk in that mentality, there's no other option for us. Like we have to just focus in on what our team is doing and hope to God that everybody else is doing the right things.
Now, I would tell Duffy, get yourself a yard sale. I don't know why the negative connotation about yard sales. Mm-hmm. Yard sale is great.
Mm-hmm.
It's like you see yard sales.
All you buy somebody else's junk.
You don't want to see.
No, turn I around think next actually, year and sell it at your yard
it's actually
sale.
A lot of stuff you do want to see. So yard sales are good. So mm-hmm. I'm not sure you kind of mix the intent there, I believe.
I don't know.
You know. Maybe he just hasn't appreciated a good yard sale. Guessing as much as Danny has walked in his life. Just walking around, he's bumped into a really nice yard sale time or two.
Oh, I could see Duffy at yard sales.
Of course you could.
Yeah, absolutely.
Of course you could.
Danny Duffy over there looking at the books? Like of all the athletes in town, the one guy most likely to show up yeah. to your yard sale is Danny Duffy.
Danny Duffy, yeah, for sure.
No
for
doubt. Sure. I mean, I don't even know who number two would be
made
on
it,
that
made
list.
It sound like it's a bad thing, though.
Kelsey maybe coming in at number two. I don't know.
A yard sale's great. Yeah. Mitch Holthus, voice of the Chiefs, joined us at 7:30 as he does on Tuesdays here on 610 Sports Radio. We discussed a number of things with him, including the opt-out for Damian Williams and what this means for the Chiefs.
Damian Williams now, you're talking, I mean, there's a blend of speed and power. I mean, he's right there to 4.39, 4.4. We saw that throughout the playoffs the last 2 years. He's really good in the passing game. There's enough power that he could get short yardage. So he's got this blend to him that with the current roster of running backs, someone's going to have to prove that. Then we can get to Clyde Edwards-Helaire here in a second. But Damian's got – there's something to him. And that 38-yard run to immortality wasn't a mistake. He's a tackle breaker, excellent pass receiver, and a pretty good pass protector. Go back and watch the pass play to Sammy Watkins on the pass play to the outside to the boundary, and he makes it the key block because he's got to go over and help on Nick Bosa. So there's a lot going out the door there, at least this year as he opts out, and prayers to him and what he's going through with his family. But this group that remains has got to piece it together because there is a void with Damian opting out this year.
Yeah, and he talked more about the passing game, and I think that's, to me, where Clyde Edwards-Helaire is going to kind of replace Damian Williams, and that's in the passing game and not in the pass blocking game. We'll get to that in just 1 second, but in the receiving game. I think Clyde Edwards-Helaire is going to be a very exciting running back out of the backfield in the passing game. DeAndre Washington is another guy that kind of went under the radar that we didn't talk about all that much because when they signed him, you kind of looked at it and went, well,
battle for a third running back, that's great.
Yeah, yeah. Third running back, went maybe potentially, four, who knows where he's going to fall on the roster. And then all of a sudden you have, you know, Damian Williams opt out and now DeAndre Washington becomes a bigger player in all of this. But I think where you're going to lose Damian Williams and one of the toughest spots to lose Damian Williams is going to be in the pass protection game. Mitch Holthus talked about if you have a fantasy football league that keeps track of points for great blocks by running backs, Damian Williams is a guy you want on your roster and a guy that you want on your fantasy football team because he is that good in the pass protect. And then he mentioned the Sammy Watkins play, you know, in the Super Bowl and how he was in there and was able to get Patrick Mahomes time to find Sammy Watkins running by Richard Sherman right down the sidelines and giving him the opportunity to complete that play. So much of a play in the NFL is celebrated because the quarterback hits the wide receiver. Sometimes we forget about the offensive line, but more importantly, we forget about those running backs that pick up the blitzing linebacker or the Daniel Sorensen of the other team that's the safety that's firing through the gap that if you don't pick him up, your quarterback gets killed and that play never happens. if Damian Williams isn't in there and doesn't pick up the blitzer on that play, maybe Patrick Mahomes isn't able to complete that pass to Sammy Watkins. And who knows if the Chiefs end up winning the Super Bowl. So I think there are so many other things that Damian did and Damian will be missed for that we don't see in a box score. And that's why when you just look at stats or when you just look at touchdowns or when you look at semi-pro football out of focus and the way that they grade players, sometimes they miss out on some of the things that are so important that help separate you from being a good football team to a great football team. And always in this offense, that pass protection by the running backs has been so key for this offense to have success. Will Clyde Edwards-Helaire be able to pick that up right away? Will DeAndre Washington be able to pick that up right away? Will, you know, somebody who was there two seasons ago be able to pick that up right away? You know, the other Williams, Darwin Williams, will the D-Train be able to get out there, Darwin Thompson, and be able to pick this up and be able to block the way that Damian Williams did? I don't know the answer to that question. I think the answer is going to be yes, because I believe in Andy Reid. I understand what he does as a coach, and that's put people in position to be successful. And if he's going with you on a Sunday at that running back position, that means he's got all the confidence in the world that you can do what's asked of them. So I feel good because of Andy Reid here, but I think that loss is going to be big, and I think we will realize how good Damian Williams was this year.
And a lot of it's on these players, too. You got an opportunity now where you might not have before. DeAndre Washington might have signed with the Chiefs and going, they drafted a first-round running back, and they got the guy who was darn near the Super Bowl MVP.
That's right.
Maybe I don't have it. Now you have a chance to have a bigger role.
Now you have a chance to have a really big role. Yeah.
Darwin Thompson, who I think we all kind of thought might get a little bit more, despite the fact that he was, what, sixth-round pick, that he might get a little play last year, now has an opportunity again where it looked like maybe they were maybe drafting around him. You know, you got the first-round pick at the same position I'm at. Boy, do I have a Now you have kind of new life for him possibly as well. So some huge opportunities ahead for these running backs too, which is good, right? Create a little competition, create true competition. It's wide open. It's wide open.
It is, man. It is. There's no
first round pick's not guaranteed anything here, right?
No, so nobody's guaranteed anything.
Everybody. Hopefully, that brings out the best in these guys.
And that's what Mitch said. If you're looking to find out who's going to be RB1 because of your fantasy team, well, then you're going to be SOL, because I just don't think you're looking at the Chiefs right now and drafting running backs in your fantasy league based on what the Chiefs are doing, because they are going to use a lot of different guys. And, you know, they've always done that, though. And I still think, you know, unless you have a Christian McCaffrey or a Saquon Barkley, other than that, you've got to have other options at that running back position. Or by the end of the year, that guy's going to be toast. Look at the way Todd Gurley was two seasons ago. By the time the season ended and by the time they got to the Super Bowl, Todd Gurley was useless on that team. And that's because they really didn't have anybody that they could rely on as their secondary option. You need a 1A and a 1B in the NFL. And by losing Damian Williams, you lose that ability to have at the start, at least, that 1A and 1B with him and Clyde Edwards-Helaire.
Looking at the NFL, they're progressing forward now. Canceled the preseason, obviously. Training camps are underway amidst the COVID protocol. There's still talk about bubbles and how effective they have been for the NBA and for the NHL and for MLS. Judy Batiste of NFL Network says Roger Goodell not ruling it out at this point for the NFL.
He didn't rule anything out. He said everything is on the table. They've been very clear that they expect their procedures to evolve and change during the course of the season. But he did also emphasize the football season is 6 months long. He said that is longer than we have been dealing with this pandemic in the United States. 6 months is a long time, sort of suggesting the idea of putting an entire football season, an entire league in a bubble for 6 months is just not tenable.
It's not feasible. Mm-hmm. I love it. I love it for what the MLS did. I love it for what the NBA is doing to try to finish up their season. I love it for what the NBA is doing to wrap up their season. I just don't think for full seasons it's manageable, and for the NFL it'd be very, very difficult. I mean, there's not like a parking lot's got four football stadiums in it that you can just go and hang out there and play a bunch of games.
Right.
It's not as feasible to me for the NFL. Maybe when you get to the end of the year, maybe if we're towards the end of the season and we're not getting fans in the stands and home sites don't matter, and you can play like a neutral, not just a neutral site Super Bowl, but a neutral site postseason, having the AFC in one city and the NFC in another city, for instance, something like that, maybe that's workable. And I would expect they wouldn't take those types of plans off the table, but you know, to do it any other way would be very, very difficult for the NFL. Not to mention you have a lot of a lot of players involved with a whole bunch of teams that are probably not going to say, oh yeah, I'll sign up for that.
Right. And it just doesn't work from a TV standpoint, from televising your games. I mean, there really is no place that has the infrastructure in place to pull off a bubble for the National Football League. And I talked to somebody in the league yesterday about, you know, the testing that's going on. We're about a week or so, you know, into this. And the quote that I got back was the testing is going fantastically well. And they said, hopefully by the Super Bowl time, we'll be rolling with fans. I mean, so
that'd be great.
If this continues to go the way that it is for the NFL and continues to have the success rate that they're having, keep your fingers crossed. And if everybody in the public does what they're supposed to do, hey, there could be fans towards the end of the season. And by the time the Super Bowl gets here, maybe you're playing, you know, the Kansas City Chiefs are playing in front of a full stadium at Raymond James.
Seth Fowler brought to you by Santa Fe Auto Sound, Kansas City's home for car audio since 1967. It's not something I was ready for. Next.
Fesco in the Morning, brought to you by Santa Fe Auto Sound, Kansas City's home for car audio since 1967.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.